Is there some sort of, you come from, you have a personally a significant background in the law in your own country and internationally before you came here. And you, of course, know about continuing legal or judicial education. Is there some sort of continuing education or training periodically for your staff? Do they, for example, both formally and informally, I'm thinking, after a trial, perhaps get together and critique their performances? Do your different trial teams interrelate and learn from each other?
We try to run a continuing legal education program. It's not been maybe as effective as we would wish. We have what we call the legal forum in the OTP, which is supposed to be organized monthly to discuss particular legal issues or sometimes to review the outcome in a particular case and try and draw lessons
from it. Or tactics or strategies.
Exactly, strategies, etc.
Right.
We do that, try to do that every month. It's not been that regular, though. But in addition, I have a weekly meeting of all the senior trial attorneys, right, at which we consider progress reports from each trial attorney on the cases under their responsibility. Any legal issues that are pending or that may come up, okay, we exchange ideas on how to deal with them, etc. What has been a major challenge, of course, in the OTP is ensuring that trial attorneys, senior trial attorneys, who are in charge of trial teams, coordinate their actions and they share information. That continues to be a major challenge. See, when you have prosecutions at the national level, you have 50 cases. They are all separate. There is no connection between them. And so you hardly need to sit together to discuss strategy, except in a general sense. But here you have 50 cases, 50 accused persons, but essentially it's one case. It's one case of genocide, and all the cases are interconnected. What one witness sees in one case may be relevant and potentially exculpatory in another case. And so it becomes so important to share information, because we have a duty of disclosure, for instance. If one trial team is in possession of information which is inculpatory of its accused but exculpatory of another accused being handled by a different team, he has an obligation to disclose. But unless they coordinate their actions and share information, we run the risk of failing in our disclosure obligations.
Well, it's very interesting because you led right into another question I was going to ask, because in fact, we've already interviewed a number of prosecutors, and they state, and I believe them, that they know the duty of disclosing exculpatory evidence, and they adhere to it as best they can.
We've had lapses.
But you've, of course, there's been some serious criticism.
Yes.
Serious lapses.
Yes.
And I'm glad to hear you acknowledge that. And one of the reasons you've just described is the lack of communication.
Communication between the teams themselves. Mm-hmm. We try to get them, and that's one of the reasons why every Friday I arrange this meeting. It's usually 2-3 hours with all the senior trial attorneys, and each of them talks about the case, their case. What did they do last week? What do they plan to do next week? Who are the witnesses they are calling? So that something might be of interest to somebody else, another senior trial attorney who is attending the meeting, and then they can coordinate.
Okay.
But you also need to coordinate positions, you know, positions on issues, like case theories. I mean, it's no use one team putting forward a theory, for instance, that its accused people were the ones responsible for organizing the genocide, and the other team also takes a view that no, it's their accused who were responsible, who were the top culprits, because there is a temptation for every team to make its case appear to be the most important.
Of course.
So you have to monitor those issues to try and make sure that the theory is the same, that our explanation of the genocide is consistent from case to case. I have a chief of prosecutions who monitors that sort of thing and tries to make sure that we have a kind of uniformity and consistency in approach. We have a coordination in our efforts in trials, and we have a sharing of information that we live up to our disclosure obligations. But it's the biggest challenge we face in the OTP.
Okay. I want to go to one other legal, and we were talking about the civil and the common law. some of the people we've interviewed have said it might be better if the civil law, the civil law were used in terms of the ability of having an investigating judge versus the prosecutors being in charge of it, without any criticism of any of the specifics. They're used to that system, and some of them feel that it might be better in, or at least some aspect of that might be better included in the total package of the tribunal. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on that subject.
I mean, I only think that it may lead to a duplication of the work. And instead of saving time, it may extend the time for trial, because the role of the investigating judge will still not exclude the process in court, where the trial court judges sit to hear the evidence.
Of course.
You know, so you may not be saving time by having an investigating judge. And I think the current system we have, it probably good enough. In Cambodia, in the Cambodia tribunal, for instance, they have the investigating judge. But you have an investigation first by the prosecutor, who then goes to ask for an indictment. Then you have an investigation by the investigating judge, and then you have a trial. I think that process is too much drawn out, too long. And maybe what we are operating now, I don't know, maybe much better.
Well, of course, I think earlier we talked about the fact that international criminal justice, particularly in these areas, is developing, and people are trying different experiments, and
that's
perhaps
right.
At some point we'll figure on the best system,
et cetera. Yeah.